Last week's parsha, we read Parshas Chukas. The Torah introduces us to a mitzvah known as Parah Aduma. The Torah calls it a choik. Rashi comments that the nations of the world make fun of us, they mock us for our strange customs, strange beliefs. And our answer to them is that this is a choik, this is what Hashem tells us to do. I think one of the most valuable lessons of last week's parsha was this idea that Hashem is telling us, don't try to understand everything. You don't have to understand everything. Part of being Jewish and being part of Am Yisrael is not understanding everything. And that's what the Torah is giving us, this mitzvah in Parshas Chukas of Parah Aduma, where we're supposed to walk away confused. Very confused. Doesn't make any sense. It's strange. The person who's Tameh becomes Torah. The person who's Torah becomes Torah. The whole thing is weird. Well, what's the pshat? The answer is that's exactly the pshat. There is no pshat. Sometimes in life, we have to throw our hands up and say, we don't understand what's going on. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Why is the good people winning? And why is the bad people winning or the good people losing? What's going on? We don't understand. And that's the lesson that I think is very valuable in this generation more so than other generations. I always joke, this generation that suffers from emunah. And the previous generations had no problem with emunah. Because we live in the Google generation. If you don't understand something, you Google it, and then you understand it. There's no such concept today for young people not to know something. They might not want to know it because they're lazy, but they won't push the button. But if you want to know something, you Google it. And you search it until you get the answer. And that's the way you live your life. So when a person reaches a point where there is no answer, it's a very frustrating experience. It goes against everything we're used to in our world. So the Torah is telling us, no. There's a concept of certain things you just don't understand why it goes that way. Yaakov Kamenetsky, Nemes Yaakov, says there's a whole list of Rishonim, many Rishonim, that hold that the mitzvah of reading Parashas Parah Aduma, but what we call Parashas Parah, is a mitzvah deraisa. Based on the Taisvis and different Girsas, we've spoken about this many times. And if Yaakov says, what's the pshat? Where's it saying the Torah to read it? So he says, it's based on a pasuk in Sefer Dvar. It says in the Torah, remember that what happened when you angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar. So most people think that refers to the story of the Chateig or the Meraglim. Rabbi Yaakov says, no, it was a story when the Jewish people needed water, and it was Mara, it was bitter water, and Hashem said to Moshe, take a bitter stick and throw it into the water. Well, how does a bitter stick go into water and turn it sweet? The answer is Hashem was teaching the Jewish people, it's not going to make sense. Your existence in this world is not going to be based on your understanding or your logic, and you have to accept it now. And we have to learn that before we move into Eretz Yisrael, before we even got to Torah. Am Yisrael's existence does not make any form of logical sense. And you have to come to terms with that. And once you realize that, you'll live a much happier life. Because we spend the whole life trying to figure out why. If we come to terms and say, we don't know why. We don't. Why this happened, why that happened, we just don't know. And we move on. We end up being much happier people. And that's what the Torah is teaching us in the mitzvah of Parah Aduma, is that when the Jewish people come to the realization that they don't understand everything, then they're ready to become part of Klal Yisrael. The pasuk goes on and tells us Adam Kiyomas Boil. Famous Gemara. The Gemara says, "Ein Atayim Miskayim Elamisha Meimis Atzmi Olav." Torah only is Niskayim for someone who kills himself over the Torah. So he's always troubled. Why does the Torah bring out this point in Parshas Parah? You know, if you want to bring out the idea of the importance of Torah, why bring it out in Parshas Parah? There's not many other places in the Torah where the Torah actually talks about learning Torah. Why is there a hint to the importance of Torah in Parshas Parah? So I felt that sometimes the way many people learn, to some people looks like a chayk. People spending hours and hours of their life plugging away at the same two lines of something, the same three lines of a Rashba, four lines of a Rambam, day after day and week after week, and throwing away all other worldly responsibilities maybe, and not looking to do other things, and that seems very strange. To an onlooker, you look at them like the guy's crazy. You're spending a whole day long trying to understand five words in a Rambam. You're nuts. Move on. So that's why I think the Torah put this lesson of if a person kills himself on Torah, it could have given appearance like a chayk. It looks almost so strange. Like, why would you do this? It doesn't make any sense. And that's the beauty of Torah, that when a person plugs in into Torah and he tries to understand all the words of Torah, although to an onlooker it may look like a chayk, it may look very strange. And maybe not even to onlookers, maybe to some people even in the group it looks a little strange. What are you doing? You know, move on already. You go weiter. It's not like Yalla Halacha. Who cares what the Havmin of the Gemara was? It's Maskana now. But that's the idea of learning, that every step and every piece of Torah is so important that a Torah, a person kills himself over. Rashi tells us, later on in Parashas Chukas, Rashi says that the Parah Aduma was to be misakit for the Chet Egel. The Parah Aduma, which is the parent of the Egel, comes and cleans up the mess that the Egel made, the child's mess. There's a Gemara in Kiddushin of Lamed Aleph. The Gemara in Kiddushin says, how far does Kibbut Avayim go? So the Gemara tells us a story from a fellow named Doma ben Nesina. The Gemara tells us, learn a lesson from this guy, Doma ben Nesina. Who was Doma ben Nesina? So the Gemara tells us, Doma ben Nesina was a person who was in business, and people came and they wanted to do business with him one day, and the key to the safe was under his father's bed. The Gemara says he wouldn't wake his father, and because he didn't wake his father, he lost out on the business. And the Gemara said he got rewarded that Paradum was born into his flock, and he was able to sell the Paradum for a lot of money. That's the famous Gemara in Kiddushin. Many problems with this Gemara. The first problem is, why are we bringing a story from a guy? We don't have enough nice, good Jewish people out there. We got to bring a story from a guy. So the Maral talks about that goyim are taka more zor in kibud aveim. You wouldn't see that so much today in the streets, but okay. In theory, goyim are more makbar than kibud aveim. We find that even by Yaakov and Esav, that they were more, that Esav was a little bit more into kibud aveim, because the reason is, says the Maral, because kibud aveim is about the physical world. My parents brought me into the physical world, so for a goy, the whole existence is the physical world. For us, we're much more into the afterlife, Olam Haba. So although this world is important, the other life, the next life, is more important. So why a goy is more makbar than kibud aveim? I think there's some reasons to it. But what was the pshat that the reward was a paraduma? So I think based on this Rashi, it makes a lot of sense. Because what's the yisoid of the mitzvah of kibud aveim? We've talked about this many times. Kibud aveim is not because they gave birth to you, that's why you have to mechab them. Kibud aveim is because they come and clean up your messes. One of the greatnesses of a parent, of what a parent does when their child makes a mistake, the parent comes and cleans it up. They might not be happy about it, they might not be thrilled, but they do it. That's what we all know. Everyone who's a parent knows that that's what we do. We clean up our kids' mess. I can tell you every single day I'm cleaning up my kids' mess all day long. Whether it be boxes or build, whatever they build, I have to clean up, right? And obviously when the kids get older, we do even bigger cases of their messes. They do this wrong, they do that wrong. That's what a parent does. So that's the pshat over here. When a child was margish kibud aveim properly, when this Dhamma ben Asina realized, what does it mean kibud aveim? It's not just because he put me into this world. It's because my father and my parents are here to do whatever mess I get into, they will come and get me. And that was the paraduma. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we paid him with the paraduma. Because the paraduma is that lesson, where the parent comes to clean up the child's mess. So that's why specifically it was the paraduma, as opposed to any other reward. It was because Dhamma ben Asina chapt. And we have to take Musa from Dhamma ben Asina and realize, oh, that's the pshat in the mitzvah of kibud aveim. It's not about, oh, they put you into this world, they paid for your college, they cleaned your diapers. It's way bigger than that. The pshat and the reason why we're mechaber our parents is because they're of the few people in this world that we know we can count on when we get ourselves into big trouble, and they're there to come bail us out. The fizah, I think we can also explain, we find in Shulchan Aruch, there's the chib and the mechaber an older brother, mechiv and chabit grandparents and in-laws. They're also people, maybe on a lower scale, but they're also people in our lives that we know we can turn to when we get ourselves into deep, deep mess and trouble that we can turn to, and they'll come get us. Those types of people the Torah says we have to honor. And that's the lesson from the Paraduma, that the Paraduma was there to be misakin for the Chet Egel, and that's why the Torah, that's why the reward for Dhamma Medicina was specifically the Paraduma. We find by Miriam, this week's parasha, also a big parasha about women. Miriam dies in this week's parasha, and all of a sudden the water stops. So the Kliyaka learns that the reason why the water stopped after Miriam died was because the Be'er was Beschus Miriam, and when Miriam died, they weren't masped her properly. They didn't appreciate what it meant to have a Miriam. They didn't realize who she was. They didn't mourn her properly. Therefore, as a punishment, says the Kliyaka, they lost the Be'er. That's how the Kliyaka understands, which is a very, very powerful lesson. Many times in life, people die, and we don't always take stock of what they meant to us. Now they come and go, yeah, this person, you know, big people, big names, yeah, Moshe and Aaron die, of course, everyone knew. But Miriam, people, hey, who's Miriam? She was a lady. How chashiv could she have been? I'll show you how chashiv she was. Once she dies, you don't get any more water because you didn't realize who she was. It's a very valuable lesson. Many times in life, we don't focus on those that pass and what they gave to us and what they meant for society. And sometimes the Kosh Baruch has to stick it to us and remind us that you have to realize who they were and what they brought to the table. But the cash is that the story of Miriam, and the reason why the Be'er came, was because the Medrash tells us, because Miriam watched Moshe when he was a little baby in the water. And she watched to make sure everything was safe with Moshe Rabbeinu. And in that merit, Miriam was the Be'er. So the obvious question was, so why did it stop after Miriam died? The story happened so many years ago. So why after she died, all of a sudden now did the water stop? Let the water keep on going. I think the answer is, the Torah is teaching us something also very important. That many times there are great people in life, but someone else has to step up to the plate after they pass. We have to have new leaders. We have to have a new generation of people. So yes, Miriam did her thing and she was great. But when her time was over, we can't just keep on living off of her chosim. We need someone else to take over those great things that person did. And we need to be our own reasons for good things. So the Torah is telling us that after Miriam died, it was no longer enough just to say, well, but Miriam did good things 35 years ago. Okay, but Miriam is dead. We move on now. We need a new generation to step up to the plate and to fill the void from the previous generation. And that could be pshat in Rashi. Rashi quotes a Gemara from Miriam that Misa tzadikim amechaperes, that when the Misa of a tzadik is forgiveness for the whole generation. What's the pshat? So the pshat is because when a tzadik dies, everyone has to step up their game. Because who's going to fill their void? Someone's got to do it. All these great leaders that were no longer with us, all the hours of their learning and all their great chidushim, who's going to fill that void? We need to step up. We need to up our game. So the reason why when a tzaddik dies, it's mechayev, because it's a mechayev almost. It's a push for us to say, we got to get better. Because who's going to fill that void of Torah? I remember people saying when Avadi Yosef was nifter, people were saying, yeah, someone has to fill all the hours and hours and hours of limud Torah that were fulfilled by him. We got to step up. So when a tzaddik dies, it's a mechayev for us to have to push ourselves and to be better. So when Miriam died, after her great life, someone had to fill that void and live another great life to give the water to the Jewish people. In the end of the parash, we find something interesting. Torah tells us that when Aaron died, it says, Vayivku kol b'nei Yisrael, all the Jewish people cried over the loss of Aaron. Rashi says, what's all of the Jewish people? So Rashi says, because Aaron had a special job in Klal Yisrael. He brought Shalom bin Ish lechaveroi, bin Ish leishtei, the husband and wife. It's interesting, I work for an organization known as Shalom Workshops, where we give Shalom Bayis workshops to different types of people, all different types of groups. I've given workshops to Chassidish women who barely spoke English. I've given workshops to non-religious Jews who knew nothing about the religion. And the one thing you realize is that Shalom Bayis, bin Ish leishtei, has no boundaries. You see from this medrash that Aaron had a busy job during the times in the Midbar. He was working on Shalom Bayis. Now, I would have thought to myself, what type of Shalom Bayis shas can they have in the Midbar? What are most of our Shalom Bayis shas about? Money. Well, money in the Midbar was an issue. They got the money. Move on. You know, where to send the kids to school, camp, there was no issues, no yeshivas, nothing. Clothing. They had one pair of clothing. How can you fight with your wife about spending too much money? Credit cards they didn't have. What was the fighting about? How many fights can they have in the Midbar? You would have thought, maybe when they moved into Eretz Yisrael, then the fights began. But this is talking about in the Midbar. What fights could they possibly have had in the Midbar? There was no money to fight about. There was no issues. Well, you know, what could it have been? You see clearly from the Torah that these issues that we have today are not because we always think, well, if I'd have a different lifestyle, I wouldn't have Shalom Bayis issues. If I made more money, or if I did this, that me and my wife would get along. It's not true. People are people no matter where you put them. And the issues that people have, or not issues, but the conflict that comes up between a husband and wife has nothing to do with their financial situation, has nothing to do with who has what type of job, or where they live, has to do with because we're human beings. And human beings are made differently, and because we're different, we interact with each other differently. And that's what Aaron HaKohen's job was. You know, he was the first Shalom Workshop presenter, I guess. We'll call Aaron HaKohen. I got to do his job. It's a big schuss. And that's what we do. We try to just to take two people that are not bad. No one's bad and no one's evil. I work with young couples that are wonderful people. It's not therapy. They're not bad. They just don't know what it means to be married. So yeah, 30, 40 years ago, people knew a little better what it means to be married. Today, it's totally lost. They don't know what they're supposed to do. So we just educate them. What does it mean to be married? What does it mean to interact with another person? Specifically, the opposite gender, who for many yeshiva guys don't even know how to talk to them because they weren't exposed to it. But Aaron HaKohen's job was difficult even in the Midbar, without all the issues that we have today, and there was no kids at risk then, and there was no kids off the derech, and there was no drugs, there was nothing. Right? Erev Ravim, stomach ache problems also, but okay, we pushed them chutz l'machne. But you still see, even in the Midbar, there were still Shalom Bayis issues, there's still things to deal with. So you see, it's the power of relationships are so deep and so powerful, they go beyond. I've had people that I dealt with that are extremely wealthy, people that are extremely poor. It makes no difference of your situation financially, whether or not you're going to have a happy marriage. It's two people trying to live together in a world, no matter where the world is. It could be here, it could be Eretz Yisrael, it could be a Chassidish community, it could be a modern community, a not Jewish community. It doesn't matter. People are people, and because we're human beings, our relationships become somewhat complex, and that was Aaron HaKohen. And the people realized it. That's the bigger chap. Many times you spend time working with someone, they don't appreciate it. And the people realize the greatness of Aaron HaKohen, even though people could have blamed Aaron for being part of the Chet HaEgel. I can hear people saying, Aaron, yeah, why should we go be maspid him? He was involved with the Chet HaEgel. We sinned because of him. It's just part of him. We would have done that today. We would have said, I'm not going to Aaron HaKohen's Leviah. He's part to blame for the Chet HaEgel. But the Jewish people realized, no, he gave so much more to society. Whether he was involved or not was irrelevant. He was such an asset to society because he brought shalom between people. Therefore, everyone swallowed their pride. And they went and they were masped and they felt his loss. So you see something very valuable in the Torah's eyes about being shalom between Ish and his friend, but more so between Ish and Ish. Okay, we left off last week in the Gemara in Gittin, where the Gemara, according to most Achrayim, according to the way Reb Shimon learned the Gemara, according to the way other Gedolei Rosh Yeshivas learned the Gemara by us in Gittin told us a big Yisoid. The Gemara told us there's two dinim into giving a get. There's a din called Foygidach Me'agabi Karka, which means if you put the get in the middle of a public domain, and you tell somebody here, go take your get, so the Gemara says that's not a good get. Now, the Gemara doesn't tell us why that's not a good get. Rashi learns in two places. The reason why the get's no good is because it's felt in Venasan. It's not called Venasan. You didn't give it to her. Where's the Venasan? You didn't give her the get. You allowed her to take the get. You didn't give her the get. Then the Gemara answers to that kasha. We're talking about a case where the get is tucked in the back of the husband's, in his pants. So it's on his body, and she takes the get off of his body. So the Gemara answered, oh, because the get's coming merushusoy lerushusa, from his body to her body, it's a good get. Which means the way that Achrenim learned the Gemara was what the Gemara's answer was, in order to get around Pligitach Me'agabe Karka, all you need is, it comes from my rishas to her rishas. When it's the middle of the street and she picks it up, there's a break in my rishas from her rishas. But if she walks over to me, let's say the husband would be laying on the ground, and the get would be in his hand. And she'd walk over and pull the get out of his hand. According to this step in the Gemara, that's not Pligitach Me'agabe Karka, because the get came from his rishas to her rishas. Then the Gemara said, no, that's also no good. Why? Because there's another din. It says in the Torah, V'nasam Biyada. So the way the Achrenim learned this line, the Gemara says, "Hey, Nachanami, there's no chesar when it comes from your rishos to her rishos, but there's another din. That not only does it have to come from your property to her property, there's another din. You have to be involved in the giving. So if you don't give it and she takes it, it's also no good." So the way Reb Shimon and Reb Shimon Wozovsky and all Reb Shimon's Talmidim and Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, they all learned the Gemara that there's two distinct dinim over here. There's one din that it has to come from your possession to her possession. And there's not another din that you have to be involved in the giving. That's the chayra, the way the Gemara reads, according to the Gedalia Achrei.
They're both learned from the same.
And there's, yeah, they're both learned down from Vinasan. They're both learned down from those two words in the Pasuk Vinasan Biyadi. How exactly to break it down is not clear. If you look in Rabbeinu Hananel learns, when he brings down both these drushes, he writes the same Vinasan. He writes, no good Vinasan, no good Vinasan. So it almost sounds like he's learning them from the same. We'll see maybe a little later in the Rambam, also similar such a pshat. But it seems from these Gedalei Achrenim that these two dinim that we're calling now and how to understand the giving of the get are all learned out from the words of Nasim Biyod. L'chayra, if you say like these Achrenim, what would happen in the following scenario? What would happen if the husband drops the get in the middle of a Cedarhurst Park? Okay? So now right away it's lacking the first din of Merushusa. But instead of telling her, come get the get, he waves his hand, and he blows the get to her. Talented fellow. And he's able to move his hands in a way that the get ends up in her dalanamis. Would that be a good get or not? So l'chayr, that would be this nafkamina. If you want to say that it needs to come, maybe rishusoy le rishusah, it didn't. It came from his rishus to the park to her. We broke in the chain of maybe rishusoy le rishusah. But if all you need is this din v'nasan, that means he needs to be the sole giver of it, he needs to be involved in the giving of it, he was definitely involved, because he waved his hands that way and he moved the get along, so he was involved in the get. So if you learn the Gemara simply the way we thought the Gemara means to read, that you need to have both elements there, so l'chayr in a case where you have one without the other, l'chayr the get should not be good. That's the way most achrayim understood the Gemara. I mean, the chiddush of the Gemara was, you need to have both of these requirements met in order for it to be considered of a nasan.
Rabbi, didn't we not speak about if I throw her a get from my rishus over your property,
correct,
and then she catches it?
Right.
So I'm in control of the throw, but it went out of my rishus into your avir, and then ultimately to her. Would that be the same pillar? Or is the fact that at the time that I dropped it, I wasn't directing it to her?
Right, so I think they would tell you in that case, that's considered coming from your rishus to her rishus, even
so
though...
It's going through,
right,
another rishus,
right,
it's
right.
Not
because it was a direct, you know, giving from you to her. The problem that Achrenim ask is there's a mefurish stipler that says not like this. If you look over here, number 2, the stipler has a yesoid. The stipler writes, "The inyan ha-nisinu hu raksha habal yaseh she yahaged biyodo." The stipler has a yesoid that all you need for nisina is that the husband is the reason that get got to her. V'lo yashkechan shemuchrach sheyeh biyodoy u shetekabel le'isha haget dafka miyodo shabal. There's no din that it has to come directly from the husband, says the stipler. Says the stipler, it's only due to technical problems. That's almost impossible to have a case that the Baal will do in a Sina. Because if not, how else can I make it by you unless I give it to you? How else can the get end up by you because of me if not from it coming from me? However, says the stipler, what would happen if the get was already in the Rishas Rabbim? And the husband can cause it to get to her, not by actually giving it, but by waving his hands and moving ear down the get. That would also work. Even though it didn't come straight from his possession, normally it doesn't happen. So they're all up in arms. What are you talking about? How can the stipler write that? That's connected everything we've been saying for the last 2 weeks. We keep on learning this Gemara, that the way the Achrayim learned the Gemara was that this Gemara was saying that there's two independent dinim. There's a din that you need to be involved in the giving, and there's another din that it needs to come from your rishos to her rishos. So according to the stipler, you have one element, you have the involvement element, but you're lacking the other part of coming from your rishos to her rishos. So how does the stipler work with everything we said? So the simple answer is the stipler disagrees. Fine. The problem is, it has the stipler in our Gemara.
But just because it's in Rishus Arabim, but once you control it, does that make it in your Rishus?
Oh, good. That's what I want to talk about now.
Yeah, Rishus Arabim doesn't necessarily mean that there's another Rishus.
That's what we need to talk about. So this is an interesting case. This is a case where the get is not physically in his possession, but he's going to be very involved in causing it to get to her possession.
He actually has dominance over it.
Right, so that's what we need to see. But obviously, in the case, why is that different than a case where I tell her, go pick it up from the Rishus Arabim? Same case, right? I drop the get in the park and I say, hey, go get the get. Why is that different?
But he's physically, by blowing it and waving his
He's getting involved.
He's manipulating.
Oh, that's the, right. I think that's the difference. He's getting involved over here. By blowing the get, he's getting involved in the gets moving from point A to point B. By
clear showing of intention.
Maybe.
If the other case, you don't know. Maybe, yeah, maybe not.
If that's the issue with Tligidach Megabekarka. If that's the issue, right.
Let me complicate it a little bit. What if the get is in somebody else's rishus?
Right.
And he takes it from that. In other words, somehow or another it became the...
Oh, but then it's the...
It's not his get.
Well, right, once he picks it up, that's right in his rishus.
But took it from somebody else's rishus.
So who owns the get? The husband?
Yeah, he still owns it.
So right, that goes back to being in his rishus. So this is the kasha that many achrenim asked on this stipler. The stipler seems to not work with the lumnus that we presented last week. So okay, so one way of saying is an echanami. The stipler disagrees with this whole lumnus, and he doesn't think that he's too dinim, and that's the whole story. So there's a sefer I found called, it's called Kuntres V'Nosam B'Yada. It's a great name for a sefer. Pages and pages all about how to give a get and all the lumnus that we speak about all the time. Our whole country is called V'Nosam B'Yada. Great name for a sefer.
No,
all on this. Very geshmaka sefer. Perfect for us. So the whole country, he wrote, I don't know, it's 50 pages, all about the giving of the get, basically everything we talked about in the eighth parak of Gittin. So this fellow, I don't even know who he is, so he wants to try to be miyashiv this stipler. Because he's bothered, how does this stipler say that I can wave my hand and move the get down the public area, and that would be a good get, but where's the mesira meyushusoy from my possession to her possession? So he says like this, Vahabirhu, he thinks the explanation is like this. Doha ikarhu shiyavu mimenu eileha. When we talk about tligidach megabekarka, and we spoke a little bit about this last week, and I don't understand it any better this week, that if I drop the get in the middle of the public area and I say, here, come get your get. So the Gemara says, no good. Why? What's so bad about it? So you're telling me, oh, it's not v'nasan, you didn't give it. Well, what does the word to give mean? There's two ways you can give. You can give it in an active way, that means actually giving it, and you can be a passive giver. If I allow you to come into my house, I'm also giving. That was the Aruch HaShulchan by Matnas Kahuna. If a person gives Matnas Kahuna by passive, he's mekayim the mitzvah of Nesinas Matnas Kahuna, because giving doesn't always mean it in an active way. For some reason, Rava understood that when it comes to Gerushin, you have to be an active giver. So therefore, if you just drop the get and walk away and say, hey, come take it, that's not called giving it. So he says like this, if the Iker HaKpoda of the Torah is that it comes from my possession to your possession, v'hakol toli b'tzuras ha'nasinu, it all depends on how it was given. If the Baal did something to the actual get, that you can say is that the get came from me to you. When you look back and you say, it came from me to you, what does it mean it came from me? It came from me because it came from my possession, or it came from me because I was actively involved in causing it to get there. Even when I bring it through my wind, since I did an action to this get, I can call it that it came from me. This is attributed to me. Again, it didn't come from me. It didn't come from my possession. But we're going to call it that I was involved enough that it came from me. The get's in the middle of Rishus Ram, and you wave your hands, and the get blows down. Or you blow with your mouth, I guess, if it's the same thing. I don't well understand what he's saying, to be honest. I don't really understand what he's saying, because if there's a din called Tligidach Megabekarka, and that din means that the get must come from your rishos to her rishos, maybe if it's even Xeris HaKasav, so that's the end of the story. It's Xeris HaKasav. He wants to say, no, it's more than that. It's not Stam Xeris HaKasav. It's a way of looking at it. You have to look at it and say, well, do we call it that it's coming from him? I don't think we'd call it that it's coming from him. I think we look at it that he's involved in it getting there. That's the other din of the Gemara. That's the Venasan. That's not the Tlegitech. The Tlegitech, the way the Gemara read, according to most Achrenim, was you must make sure the get comes from you to her. This is not coming from me. This is my giving it. I'm involved in the Venasan. I'm still not involved in the Merishusa or Merishusa.
He's kind of...
I dropped it there. So to me, he's kind
of... on Shabbos for moving something if you blow it in Merishusa Rabin? So then it's like, that shows that it is your action. The Torah looks at it as you moving it, as if you picked it with your hand. And
again, that doesn't make it now my possession. Doesn't mean it's my rishus. If there's a din, I don't know why, but let's say we'll use the words of that chrem is a din. It needs to come from your possession to her possession, whatever that means. So this is not filling that void. So what he tries to do is saying, well, that whole din is really just a way of looking at it. It's not a din, your body to her body. It's about your involvement in the get.
By you moving it, you're cone it at that point.
That's what I was thinking. One could have said.
Otherwise, how are you?
That's what I was thinking. Maybe, but maybe you could say
you're making by you. Yeah. You lifted it. It's as if you lifted it.
Yeah, you're not halachically kain it. That's for sure. You're not halachically kain it.
Who says that if I take my item that belongs to me and I put it in Rosh Hashanah, do I lose the bialis over that?
Nope.
So who says it's not in my rishus anymore? It just happens to also be in Rosh Hashanah.
Well, again, if we're talking...
What does rishus mean? All right, so if I still have the bialis over it, so if I own it, it's still mine, although I guess if somebody takes it from Rosh Hashanah, it's not a Geneva because it's in Rosh Hashanah.
No, they would be considered stealing.
So
this is something we need to talk about today. Is ownership and being in your rishus the same thing? That's a very... Now this is right. This is a very a big... This is going to come up later on in the sugya. We're going to talk about Vinasan Biyada. Let's go the other way around. If you put the get into her hand, so does her hand mean something that she owns? What happens if you give the Isha a get in the way that she owns the get, but it's not in her possession? Like the case of Kinyan Agav. Let's say you're makning her the get through Kinyan Agav. So she makes a Maisa Kinyan Chazaka on a karka right here in New York, and the get happens to be in L.A. So now she owns the get in L.A. Now the get in L.A. is in someone else's property. She doesn't own that property, but she's completely the owner of the get. Would that be called Vinasan Biyada? Is biyada about bailus or is biyada about actual possession? So it's machlokes achrenim between the ktsais and the beis meir. We'll see hopefully later today. But again, I think the same issue here also. Here, when we talk about ownership or we talk about rishus and ownership are not the same thing.
But the habim of the gemara is that once I put in rishus harabim, it's no longer in my rishus.
Right.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be asking all these questions.
Right. I think one could say that part of your possession is your hand or your backyard or your chatzar. Again, it's not about ownership. You own it. There's no question. But it's Eina B'Rishusa. You can't be Makdish.
So the fact that the Gemara is having this problem indicates that they feel that bias
correct.
Is not the
correct. Same. Right. For example, if I have an animal that's roaming in the middle of Cleveland somewhere, I can't be Makdish it, even though I own it, because Eina B'Rishusa. Something that's not under your control is lacking of ownership, to a degree, for certain halachas. So how do we make this? So this is the way he wants to say it. I think you could maybe say it a little differently. That maybe the pshat is that the chesaron of tlegitach megabekarka is the chesaron that you're not involved enough. That's the chesaron. You're not involved in the nesinas haget. You drop the get in the middle of the street, you tell her, come get your get. So you're not involved. You may be doing a passive nasan. You're not doing an active maisa to get to her. And that the Torah says is no good. That's the chiddush, let's say.
You're making it
available. Right. So that was the kash that we spoke about a lot. What do you mean? If I allow her to be kainit, that's doing something. So that, in the Achrayim answer, which we'll talk more about today, I hope, that's not enough of an involvement, we'll call it.
Didn't we say that it's a matter of whether there's an intervening step, if it's direct or indirect. When you put it down and she has to take it, it's an intervening step. There's something, there's an...
But that's what,
direct connection.
But that's what I'm trying to figure out. What's wrong? Right. The question is, what's wrong with that in the middle step? The answer is because
But the shliach is kamosa. We view that in halacha as being you.
Yeah, no. The problem is when you put the get in the middle of the street and you say, come get your get. So what's wrong with that? The answer is, what's wrong with that is you're not an involved party in the maisa gerushin. However, when I blow the get with my body, then I am involved.
You are involved, just that.
No. So that's the question. Am I enough involved or am I not? That's the shaila.
So how do you be machalik? What exactly constitutes enough involvement?
It's right? Very, that's the shaila.
Why is that any different than the case where you said, well, you let her go into your shoes?
Right. So that's going to be the chiddush. I think one would have to say that in the case of the stipler, if you want to make the stipler work with everything we've been saying, you'll have to say that that's called enough. The fact that I am directly the reason to get God from my rishus to her rishus, is all because of me. Yes, it was a two-step process. First, I put the get down, and then I blew the get. But at the end of the day, this is called being involved, and that's enough to be called involved in Vinasan. Yeah, I think that's where we're going to keep on debating. But if you want to make the stipler work with everything we said last week, I think that's what you're going to have to answer, that the chesaron over here is not being involved enough.
Why do you need to know to show that? Is there an intent?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not willing.
Suffix, maybe?
I think you might. You could say such a pshat, and we'll see such a pshat in the Rambam. I think Pashat pshat is because the Torah was very particular about how this procedure goes down. Now,
make sure it's unequivocal. It's not enough to say yes, you get.
I'm not sure. I don't know if it's because we're not sure what the husband wants or because this is the way the Torah set it up. Now, the easy cop-out answer, call it Xeris HaKasa. It makes a little bit more sense if you assume, like the Ktais, that it's not about Kinyonim. If the whole Gerushin is not about owning the get, and it's just about giving it, so then I can understand why we have all these funny rules about how to give it. We don't find these rules by other areas. If I want to sell you something, we don't find all these rules that Tlu Yidich has a problem. If I want to sell you something, I say, hey, go take the money from the middle of the street. No one's going to say, oh, you didn't give the money. Because it doesn't work like that. That's just about ownership. By Gerushin, if you hold, like the Tzoyis, that it's not about owning the get, it's about giving the get, so the Torah has a whole list of rules and details of how to give it.
What about Makish Havaritzia? Yeah. If it wouldn't work by Kedushin, why would
you do that? Yeah, that's the Beis Shmuel Shaila. The Beis Shmuel is Masupik. Whether or not there's a problem with Kligitich by Kedushin. Yeah, so we spoke about that. That maybe Kedushin is a whole different type of alumnus. Kedushin is alumnus of Hano and Shavius. So that's Machalik Yisroshayim. Was the Hektish only by Kedushin Shtar or even by Kedushin Kes? That's the Ran that we talked about when we learned. Well, by Shtar, at least by Shtar, right. By Shmuel was Mesupik by Kedushin Kesef. By Shtar, most Achreinim hold, even though Rabbi Chanan has quite a long discussion in the back in Gittin, he has a discussion about how far to take the Hekish. We spoke about that once before in Kedushin. Where does Makish Shavalitzi extend to? Right, we talk about Makish Shavalitzi, also now Kedushin should be Bakarch also, because Makish Shavalitzi, right? So the question is, what's included in the Hekish? What's what we call a Gittin din and what's a Shtar din? That's where Rabbi Chanan says the distinction. What's something that's merely Halachas Gittin and what's Halachas Shtar? Okay. So that's.
He has to give it because we have a din always that you can't give it to her and she may not know if she can come back.
Taisus.
Learn that as a shaita, right?
But Taisus really, is trans, right?
Yeah, so really, it could be every woman. If you don't give it to her with an exact giving that I'm giving it to you, she doesn't know 100%
say if you
that
say
he
to her,
really means it.
Yeah, so you say to her, here, go take your get. It's I'm sitting in the middle. You think she'll think he's joking when he does that?
Joking or like. Like this is not the normal
could be
situation. So maybe she's 98% sure that she shouldn't come back. But that 2%.
So you're learning the whole din of Tligidech is because of Taisvis in the Taisvis that we saw earlier, that it's Meshach and Chazaris. Maybe. Again, I'm open to it. The Gemara doesn't give a reason. When the Gemara writes the din of Tligidech Megabakarka, the Gemara does not give a reason why it's no good. So Rashi said, because Venosan. Other Rishonim say Venosan. So you want to suggest another possibility that maybe she doesn't get the message. Possibly, I'm open to different options.
That's Pshat in Venasa.
And that's what Venasa.
She has to know without it.
No, it's not learned out. It's not learned out from Venasa. It's learned out from later on pasuk. It's not learned from the word Venasa. It's learned out from later on of Mishalcha. Because then the pasuk Venasa biyadoi v'shilcha mebeisai and she'll go out. So there they learn that she has to know to go out and not come back. It's learned out from the end of the pasuk. Well, it depends if she has to be standing by her chatzar or not. Right, that's a shayla.
Some of these other ones
that do work. No. Same. According. Any way where it's not coming from Merishusoi, from my possession to her possession, right? I can tell you Tli Gidech from my friend's backyard. Same thing.
It doesn't have to be Shusarama.
It could be any Rishus that's not mine.
That's not yours.
Right? Yeah, that's the way we understand Tli Gidech. So Im Kain, that's the if you want to make the stipler work with what we said, that's what you're gonna have to say. Yeah, there's a Rambam over here that we need to talk about. The Rambam writes over here number 4. Zakti Rambam, get shoya munach al aretz, get that was on the ground. Va'omal wa tli yidich nagabi karka, and you tell the lady take the get from off the ground. She takes it. Oyshoya kosher al yodoi, the get was wrapped around his arm. Oyal yirechoy, it's on his body. V'shalfasa mimenu. And he moves it. Even if afterwards he says to her the words, "Hay gitech," Zakti Rambam ain't a get. No good. Shenemar v'nosan biyado. It says in the Torah of v'nosan biyadoi. Lo yishetikach hi me'atzmai. Not that she should take it herself. V'harei lo yinosan lo. He didn't give it to her. Lo yihu v'lo yishluchai. Not him and not a shliach. So Rambam is speaking out, I had a shlichus work. The answer is we know. Shlichus works because it's him, but this is not a shliach. So that's why it doesn't work.
So if he puts his hand out and takes it from his hand,
that's also no good. Right.
Avalim. According to Rambam, all these achronim we've been talking about for weeks.
So the chayra, if you stop in the Rambam, there's two ahuras in the Rambam that trouble me a little bit. The first ahur in the Rambam is, the Rambam seems to be saying two cases. Case number one is the get is ala aretz, and get case number two is the get's on his body. The way that Achrenim all keep on talking about the sugya, they're two separate dinim. They're not one long din. In the Rambam, it sounds like it's all one big thing. Same thing. The get's on the ground, the get's on his body, all the same thing. No, it's not all the same thing. We learned earlier from the Achrenim that if the get would be on his body...
Rambam's not a shubit.
No, I'm just pointing it out. That this Rambam seems to be saying clearly that the case of the get being on middle of the street and the get being on his body are the exact same thing. They're the same lumdus. The way we've been learning the Gemara, we've been saying they're not the same lumdus. One is a chesaron called Tligitech, and one's a chesaron called Vinasan. Now again, it's not a kash on the Rambam. It might be shver how the Rambam learned the Gemara, because the Gemara makes two steps. According to the Rambam, they're not two steps. It's all one big thing.
It's more the case of control, the people control they get. Or is it about not giving it,
so yeah, we're going to have to talk about that also. You know, how much involvement is the husband going
to
be involved?
Right,
so the Gemara says he moves a little bit, right? He gives her access to get it, right?
So that wouldn't be, the Rambam would be okay with
that. Right, that's what the Gemara said. Now, what's troubling about the Rambam is that the Rambam says that even if afterwards he says to her, Haigiteich, that works. So many Achrenim ask the Rambam, why would that fix it? Why would saying magical words called Haigiteich fix Tligiteich Megabe Karka? There's a din called Tligiteich Megabe Karka, the way the Rambam describes it, is that she has to take the get. How would it help by saying afterwards, oh, by the way, here's your get? What does that do? One's an Amir and one's an Nesina. What do the two things have to do with each other? That's the kash on the Rambam. Right, assuming you could do it even afterwards.
Yeah.
Now, the first kasha that we asked on the Rambam, that the Rambam seems to disagree with the Gedolei Achrenim, is maybe not a kasha. It could be that the Rambam lumps the two together because they are learned from the same pasuk, as we mentioned earlier. Even according to the way everyone else reads the Gemara, they're all getting these two dinim from the same words of Vinasa and Biyoda.
Two manifestations of the same.
That's right. It's two different. But again, the way the Achrenim set up is there were two different dinim that end up mixing with each other later on.
Same pasuk.
They kind of admit, they are similar in how to make a venasan, but the way that Achrenim set up was like these two dinim. Now, according to the Rambam, it could be that they are two dinim, and they both learned that from the same pasuk, and the Rambam wraps up in one big package. That could be one pshat. That's one way of reading the Rambam. It could be that that the Rambam holds that lamaskona, maybe there's no two dinim anymore. Maybe, as we spoke about last week, maybe when the Gemara is working its way through, the Gemara is trying to figure out what's going on over here. And after the Gemara answers the Nasim Biyada, then the Gemara says, no. Now the way it works is the husband needs to be involved in the giving. It's not enough anymore to come from his possession to her possession. That's not good enough anymore. He needs to be an active participant in the Vinasan. So after that, Maskanus al Gemara, it's not anymore that there's two dinim. There's one din now. The husband must be an active participant in the giving. That's it. So if the Rambam learned the Gemara like that, then the Gemara is very geshmak. This whole stickle Torah of the Achrayim was in the Havamin of the Gemara, where the Gemara is navigating its way to understand what Vinasan is. Then the Gemara throws out, no, Vinasan Biyada, end of story. That's it. Which means, Lefizeh, there's really no such thing called Tligitach Megabe Karka as its own chasaron. Tligitach Megabe Karka is always a chasaron that you weren't an active Vinasan. Okay. Okay, that's what we're going to have to debate still. But at least the Maskanas HaGemara, according to the Rambam, the Gemara's answer wasn't anymore two dinim. It's one big din, all derived from Vinasa.
So come to my own Rishus and take the get from my Rishus, would that be good enough?
Would not be good, because...
Still not be
that would still not be good, according to the Rambam, because I'm not an active participant in the Vinasa. And it would be...
Even
the
coming from my Rishus,
house. That's right, even though it's coming directly from my Rishus. So that's what you're going to have to say in the Rambam. What about the other kasha in the Rambam? About why does the Rambam talk about Hagitech? So I think you could answer that if we learn the chesaron in Tligitech, the way we're saying it now, that you're not involved enough. So maybe the Rambam thought that if you say Hagitech, that makes you involved. You can be involved in physically being involved and by making a declaration, you become an involved party. So maybe, Eina Chanami, when I put the get in the middle of the street, I wasn't involved enough. That wasn't called enough involved. So therefore, Zakti Rambam, so maybe if I say Hagitech, I make a declaration, that makes me now more involved. I'm now a more active participant. Not physically active, but verbally active. On that, the Rambam says, no, that's not good enough. The Nasan requires you have to be more active than that.
But you see from the Gemara that he said, Tli Gitech Mal Bekara. How much more active than
that? Right. But the Rambam was just speaking out. I was just thinking right now, if you want to go back to the Rambam, maybe the Rambam, when he says, Ketcha Yamonach Hala Aretz, maybe the Rambam means that it was on his Aretz. Not Hala Aretz in the Rosh Hashanah Rambam. Maybe the Rambam is talking about the case where it gets on the husband's property.
Just like it's on his body.
Then the Fizel, he's not talking about the two types of, they're all one case of Baal Merishusai. It's a shtickle to learn the Rambam. The Rambam, when he writes, Getshe Monach Al Aretz, means it was on the husband's own land. A little bit of a doichik. He would have wrote, I'll artsoy. Right. Again, Pashas is not the reading of the Rambam. I'm just saying, if you wanted to kvetch in the Rambam, to make the Rambam work with the Achrenim, you could say that when the Rambam was talking about the case, he was talking about the get was in his possession. So it's all case of merishusoy lerishusoy.
Not that this affects it. Why does he call arts one time and then karka the other? And you know what the chiluk is there.
Yeah.
You know?
It is interesting.
Maybe arts means Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, far trip
the
for her.
Land there, so
far trip for her to get to get. But that's the kash. The kash is, why does the Rambam talk about Hagitich? So if you look over here at number 5,
it's also not clear why, if the need to be involved is the key thing, how do you compare just leaving it on the karka and then actually tying it to your body? And
then she takes
it. I understand that she's taking it, so you weren't physically moving it forward, which is kind of like the same as karka, but it's still not the same thing. It's still on your... There was an involvement. It's on your body.
Right,
you had to get it on your body. You had to put it
there
on
was
your
a mirushus l'rushusa, as we'd call it. There was a closer relationship than there was just from...
Just right, the ground.
Which is what most Achrayim thought was the two types of dinim, right? So how's another way to explain the Rambam? Why the Rambam thought that if you say Hagitech, that would fix things. So I found over here in the Sefer Zeus Liakov, he wants to say like this. He says like this. V'nireh, the boy in the sina. What's a pshat in the chson of tligitich? So we keep on saying that he's not involved enough. So he suggests a different possibility. Not only is there a chasarin that the husband wasn't involved in the giving, but there's another din. Comes up with another din. That not only is it enough that the husband be actively involved because the Torah says so, the husband has to be actively involved because he is what makes it a maisa gerushin, an act of gerushin. Again, I don't really know what these words mean, but that's what he says. To rak the sinas I get ide habal who the mikri maisa gerushin. Somehow, yeah, again, to me these are words, but somehow by the husband's involvement, it's what makes this action called a gerushin as opposed to just delivering a letter. Okay, so what? So he says, if that would be the whole chesaron, so then he says, then Amir's Hagitech would be very good. Because by saying Hagitech, I'm turning this action into a Maisa Gerushin. I'm injecting into this pu'ula of giving of a piece of paper, I'm injecting Gerushin into it. How? By saying Hagitech. So he says, if that would be the whole chesaron Hagitech, so then there would be an argument that if you say Hagitech, it should fix it. Of them, Zokter Rambam, no. That's not the only chesaron to Tligitech. The chesaron to Tligitech is the involvement. And if it's the physical involvement, saying the words don't fix it. That's the way he wants to learn the Rambam. So the Rambam was tipping us off that there's two possible chesaronis to Tligitech. Either that you don't make it into a Maisa Gerushin, whatever those words mean, that you're not creating this action, is not becoming a Gerushin unless you're directly involved. To that, maybe injecting Hagitich would work. On that, the Rambam says, no, there's another chesaron of a physical Maisa that makes it a Maisa Gerushin. Okay. Based on all of this Torah, I think now we're ready to go back and learn another Gemara that we learned already once. Now we're ready to do a good Chazar. Based on all this Torah, these two dinim and these understandings of Inasan and Biyodo, let's go back to the Gemara and Daf Ein Zayin. The Gemara and Daf Ein Zayin talked about a case where a husband needed to get a get to his wife. The husband was about to die. It was a case of a shchiv meira. We needed to get the get to the wife. It was Shabbos. The get was sitting in the husband's drawer. And how do we get the get to belong to the isha? So the Gemara said in the name of Rava that the way we do it is we're going to be makna karka to her. She'll be kind of the karka and she'll be kind of the get. So there was a big machlokes rishonim at the time. What exactly is the mode of kinyan over here? So Rav Rishonim, if not almost 99% of the Rishonim learned, it was Kinyan Chatzah. The Isha goes over to the property, she does the Maisa Kinyan on the property, she gets the property, she gets the get, package Chatzah, the get's in the Chatzah, she gets the get, and she owns the get. Rashi, the minority opinion by far, says no. Rashi says the way this works is, it works with Kinyan Agaf, which means the Isha makes a Maisa Kinyan on the Karka, and I give you the package. The package is karka plus get. She gets the karka, she gets the
so
get.
So the get could stay in the drawer.
So in theory, right, the get could have been anywhere. The problem is the Gemara writes over there very careful directions. When Rava gave directions to this husband, Rava told the guy like this, make sure to make a Maisa Kinyan on karka where the get is placed. Which means if the get is in his drawer, make sure you make a Maisa Kinyan on that room. If the get is in his office, go make a Maisa Kinyan on his office. You have to make a Maisa Kinyan karka where the get is munach. So the Rishayim ask, one second, Bishlama, if it's Kinyan Chatzar, I understand. If you want Kinyan Chatzar, you can only be Kinyan the get where the Chatzar is, so you got to do it the same place. But if it's Kinyan Agav, according to Rashi, Kinyan Agav, we paskin, doesn't need Siburim. So I can make a Maisa Kinyan on a Karak in New York, and I'll be Kinyan Metaltal in LA. So why, if that's the case according to Rashi, why did the husband have to specifically be makne her the karka where they get is, let him be makne her karka anywhere and everywhere, and she'll get the get because kinyan agav. That's the kasha that the Rishonim had.
But didn't we say that if something's already there already, you can't be kind of like kinyan?
That was the kasha. That's the role. That's right. That's why some people didn't. That's why some people say Rashi didn't learn like that. The problem we had was that we proved from the Gemara Daf Chaf Aleph that that's not true. We learned that in the Gemara Daf Chaf Aleph that Rashi clearly held you can use kinyan chatzar even though it only came at the same time. That was we spoke about that last week.
I don't understand that. According to, to this, kinyan agav, didn't we always say that it has to be somewhat specific? It can't be so much general. Even if it could be in two different locations, you just can't say...
You say agav ukni. So he said agav ukni. He said, I'm giving you the land, and agav the land, you get the metaphor.
In the case that you just said, it's not a particular land. It could be anywhere.
No. He says to her, I'm be makti you this piece of land in New York. She goes over and she does a kinyan chazaka.
Right.
And I got this piece of land I want you to be kinyan the get that's sitting in my drawer in LA.
Right.
So the Gemara says that works. So frek the Rishayim, if that works, so why did the husband have to be makti her specifically that piece of karka where the get was, let him be makti her karka anywhere. She'll be makti a piece of karka and she gets him a tatlan wherever it is.
You see here on the Gergin, you gotta be more specific, you gotta be more involved.
So that's the question over here we're gonna have to get to. How involved is this husband? He's not very involved.
Yeah, but what's the difference whether
he's dying?
Where's his Venasa and where's his Biada? That's what I want to talk about.
He's dying.
He's got bigger problems. Right? Where's the Venasa and where's the Biada? That's what we need to talk about right now.
Well,
so,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe there's different rules.
That was Rishonim's kasha, right? They said, why do you have to bother anything? Manash Chimera is automatically done, right? Rishonim asked that over there. They give answers. That much, I don't remember what the answers were.
I don't think she considers a Matana.
She does. This was for her benefit. We mentioned back then it was Machloikis Rishonim. Why it was so important? Some Rishayim learned it was for her benefit. Other Rishayim learned it was for his benefit because since he was sick, he was getting frustrated over the fact that his wife was going to get stuck with his brother. So he was getting more sick over it. So the Rishayim learned it was for his benefit that we make this happen. Not for her benefit, but for her benefit because every second he was getting stressed about that she's going to get stuck with his brother or vice versa. Depends how you look at the relationship. But in any case, so what's going on again? According to Rashi, it was Agav. According to everyone else, it was Chatzar. So if you look at the Rishonim over there, we pointed this out back then, but now it makes so much more sense. The Rishonim all bombed Rashi with kashas. But the Rishonim ask it differently. And I think it's important to note how the Rishonim ask it. For example, if you look at number 6 in the Ritva, when he asks on Rashi, he asks like this. Rashi's pshat's not right. V'ein machaber. I don't like Rashi's pshat. Why is it like the Ritva? D'imkein lom li laknuya habayi shaget b'seichel. If Rashi's right, that's kinyan agav. Why did the husband specifically tell her? Be kind of the house where they get is. You don't need that. Why? You don't need Siburin. That's kash number one. Then the Ritva goes right, he says, and when the get would be in another house, how can it work as agav? But there's no v'nasan biyada. So in the Ritva, it's clear there are two kashas over here. Kash number one is, why do you need to specifically make a Maisa Kinyan on the house where the get is? Let it be mocked to any karka. Secondly, Frakter Ritva, there's another problem. How could Kinyan Agav work? It's not V'nasan Biyada. Clearly the Ritva was bothered. How can this be a fulfillment of the Torah? The Torah says, V'nasan Biyada. I should put it in her hand. I did nothing. Where was my involvement? Of course I was involved, because without me being mocked to her my karka, she doesn't get the karka. And if she doesn't get the karka, she doesn't get the get. I agree. But that's not v'nasan biyada. That's tligitach megabe karka.
What's his first problem?
His first problem is why, if it works as agav, according to Rashi, so by agav, you don't need to have the metaltlin in the same place where the karka is. So he could have told the wife, listen, go find any piece of property that I own, make a maisa kinyan on it, and then you'll get the get, wherever the get is. Why was he so particular in his directions to only be makta the karka where the get is resting?
And then his second question is, how does agav work anyway?
Right. Second question is, this whole thing doesn't make any sense, because how's agav a fulfillment of v'nasan biyada? So which means the Rishonim, at least the Ritva and other Rishonim, the Ran also learns like this, that using Kinyan Agav would be a chasar in the Nasan Biyada.
Wasn't it any worse than Chatzar?
Well, could by Chatzar, I put it in her Rishos.
So here also.
I didn't put it in her Rishos.
You put it in your Rishos and you're giving your Rishos to her. That's the same thing.
No, but that's not the way, you're not claiming to get through that. According to Rashi, you're not claiming to get because it's in my possession. You're claiming to get because now through a magic trick called Kinyan Agav, you own the get.
Maybe that's why he was makbid to do it on a
why?
Property.
Why?
Because that's not part of that.
Because he didn't want to visit home.
Right.
That's good for the terrorists.
The what?
That Rashi, even though he's learning Agav, but he's saying specifically it has to be Agav where the...
Why?
Where
why?
Because you need to...
Good. Okay, we'll get to that. You're holding in the answer.
But if it's Agav, then it's Chatzar. It's not Agav anymore.
Okay, well, it's agav because he said I'm not using kinyan chatzis. Now he's saying that maybe the reason why you need that specific area is because if not, it won't be biyada.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to that.
That's not kinyan agav. Yeah, well, it's in the same area.
No, again, she owns the get because of kinyan agav. There's no question. The get belongs to her, not because of chatzis. Yeah. But the question is, what happens after that? We'll get to that in a second. We'll see in a minute. Now, if you look in the Rashba, I think, asks the kasha differently. The Rashba asks the same first kasha. He says, "Mishum agav lo mili laknuya oisa makim shein munach boy." If it's just because of agav, why do you have to give the same place? Haloi bin and Saburin. That's it. That's the whole kasha. Elo says the Rashba, "Elamash mashein o isha miskareshes b'din agav." You see, a lady can't be miskareshes with agav, but he doesn't say why. Why can't a lady be miskareshes with agav? So the Ritva will tell you you can't use agav because it's not v'nasim biyada. The Rashba doesn't do that. Now you'll tell me when the Rashba writes, you see from the Gemara they can't use agav is a din. You can't use agav, and the reason why you can't use agav is because it's not v'nasim biyada. The Rashba does not say that. I've seen many achrayim write that the Rashba holds you can't use agav because it's not v'nasim biyada. The Rashba does not write that. There's no such Rashba that I know that says that. The Rashba does say that from the fact that the Gemara was so particular to use the place where the get is with the karka sounds like it's not agav. Zok the Rashba, so you see you can't use agav. He doesn't say why. Maybe you can't use agav for, I don't know, another reason. I don't know. Not sure. The assumption would be in the Rashba that the reason why you can't use agav is because it's not v'nasim biyada. But it's not mochach in the Rashba. It's mochach in the Ritva. It's mochach in the Ran. The Ran says clearly, you can't use agav because it's not v'nasim biyada. Now this is a very stark akasha. The way we just learned from the Gemara, we learned that the husband has to do a maisa nesina. Where's the act of giving? Now, one can even argue, not only is it not v'nasim, it's not even biyada. Where's the biyada? It's not in her possession. Right? According to Rashi, it would be in the world of Tziburin. If the husband would say to her, here, be kind of the karka in New York, and the get will be yours in L.A., would the get be in her rishus? No. She'd own the get, but it wouldn't be in her rishus. So would that be a fulfillment of biyada? No. So Rashi could be shver on both parts. Is it the nasan, and is it even biyada? When the Rishayim ask on Rashi, it's v'nasan biyada. What is the attack on Rashi? So I think the attack on Rashi is on two fronts. First of all, the husband didn't give it, and secondly, it's not in her possession.
So maybe Rashi would agree in this case. Agav would only work by Tziburin. Normally, Agav, you don't need Tziburin. But in this case, because of that problem of Biyada,
good.
It'll only work
exactly.
By Tziburin. You want to say Chatzah because of the other problem.
So that's what the Achranim come to say.
What Tziburin just means is piled up on the Chatzah.
Right.
So why is that Agav? Why isn't that just Chatzah?
So that's always the kasha, right? If you can use Agav, so why would you opt for Chatzah? So that's when they talk about, because let's say you weren't guarding it. Chatzah only works if it's Mishtamer. Someone's guarding the Chatzah. So if I'm not guarding the Chatzah, so I can't use Chatzah, then I'll kick an Agav. That's the way. People want to be miyashim.
But any mechanism of other than giving would call into question.
Yes, exactly. That's what I want to talk about today. Can you use other modes of kinyanim? Can you make the get hers without giving it to her? Would that still be a fulfillment of the nesina? That's the big shiloh over here. So if you look over in the Beis Meir gives a very interesting answer to the kasha of all the Rishayim. Why did Rashi care so much about the karka that you use? The chayr, according to Rashi, it's agav. So if it's agav, you can use any karka you want. So the Beis Meir writes over here, he says, you're right. You're right. When it comes to agav, you don't need tziburin. Avo beget lahachi bayahu duchta by get you need. Mishum di iaget b'makam acher. Avde kantzu ba'agav akati loy have v'nasam biyado. Zok to Beis Meir, it wouldn't be good enough. Because ein achanami, she'd own the get. But by gerush, it's not about owning the get. It's about having the get in your possession. This is not her possession. This is someone else's property. So therefore, the husband specifically had to give her the property where the get is. So now the get is hers, and it's in her possession. So according to the Beis Meir, it comes to a very big chiddush. According to the Beis Meir, v'nasam biyada is not enough to own the get. Doesn't mean put it in. One would have learned the good possible. V'nasam biyada means give the get in a way that she owns the get. No, says the Beis Meir, even in Rashi. V'nasam biyada means give the get in a way that's in her possession. It has to be under her control, her area.
How does he learn any kinyan agav? I don't understand according to the Beis Meir.
By kinyan agav, normally we don't need that. If I want to sell you metatlin in L.A., you right. Don't have to. It doesn't have to be biyada. There's no din by metalton needs to be in your rishos. All you need for metalton is that you own it. So you own it. She owns the get. If you take the get from this isha, you're a ganer from the isha. Mm-hmm. But that's not what we need for gerushin, Zok to Beis Meir in Rashi. It's not about ownership of the get.
But didn't he learn kinyan agav works? You know, when we were holding on that a couple months ago, how does he learn that whole circuit then?
That's exactly the way he's learning it. He's learning that the way it works is because in this case he gave her the place and the get. If he were just to give her property one place and get somewhere else, it would work als kinyan agav, but it wouldn't work als biyada of gerushin.
So So who knows? But according to him, if you have the property in New York and the gets in L.A., that would not work.
It would not work unless you mock
the...
She would own it, but she wouldn't be divorced. Right. She'd own the chefs of the star, but it wouldn't work for Vanessa Biyadu.
Can you go back to the Raj? Can you go back to...
Yeah, yeah.
It's connected everything.
That's not connected. It's just you have to be mock everything. Yeah, the Raj.
Because it says, agav.
Right.
He says it has to be that they're in the same place.
Yeah, right, because in this case over here, she owns the chutz at the same time.
I understand what he's saying, but if they have to be in the same place, so if it was Tziburin, they were in the same place, would it still work agav, even according to him? Because he uses that language, he didn't have to, he just could have said that because of his example, that they weren't Tziburin. And then he says, therefore, agav's no good. Why? Right. Because they have to be in the same place.
He's saying, you see from the Gemara that it has to be on the same place. He's trying to understand why. So from the fact that the Gemara was so particular in its direction, means it must be on the land.
Right. So I'm saying, if they're on the land, but he's not Shomer the Chatzer, it could still be Bedin Agav, because they're still on the land. That's
correct.
The only thing.
That's correct.
So when he says,
he's saying
it's not good Bedin Agav, it's only if they're separated. Because you theoretically could have the din agav applied.
Well, I think that's the chiddush of the Rashi. The chiddush of the Rashi is that he's saying from the fact that the Gemara assumes it can't be agav, it's because agav doesn't work by get. So you're saying, well, what would happen in a case of a get with tziburin? Let's say the husband would do agav in a case where the get is on top of the...
And he's just not shomer.
So if it would... So the Rajbu would tell you it wouldn't work.
Okay, all
right. Right, that's a good point. Right. The Rajbu would tell you that agav can't fly by gerushin. Why? And that's not that he doesn't tell you the why. That's where I think one can argue. The Rajbu doesn't say why. The Ritva says because not v'nasam biyada. Fine, I accept that. The Rajbu doesn't say why. He just says, well, all I see from the Gemara is that it doesn't work. So the question is the why.
Shana Beis Meir fits in nicely. So most of the rise is so where she's not Kona,
that's
she's
right.
Divorced. Here,
that's right.
She is Kona, yet she's not divorced.
And this is the backwards of Rashi.
Because
right. That's right. According to him, Nasan Biyada is not enough. Well, I would say it's not enough to own it. You have to also have right. It. It's two dinim, what we'll call it in the Beis Meir. You have to own it, and it also has to be in your possession.
Well, no, you don't say you have to own it.
Okay, at least in this case, you own it.
Case,
in this case, you happen to have owned it. That's
it.
Right, that's right. Agreed. Okay, good point.
How do we know to take things, certain things so literally and other things not literally? Why it says biyada.
Right.
Why does it say berushusa?
I agree.
So the fact is maybe it means biyada literally in her hand or in some possession, not that it's in an unguarded, and specifically you have to say it's an unguarded thing, because otherwise it would be
chatzar.
She's saying it's agam because it's not in the shomeris. This is a problem.
I agree.
So she doesn't have control over it, even if it's she owns it and it's in her... In her property.
La halacha lemaisa, the place can talk about this. There's a pischei tshuva in Shulchan Aruch. If Salvechik quotes his pischei tshuva, that he's makbid that the whole get has to be in the isha's hand when you give her a get. State v'nasa biyada, it has to be in her hand. So if half the get, it's a long paper, and half it's. So you'll say, it's got to be biyada, right? They got to fold it up and put it in her hand. How do you know that?
This in her property over there across the country.
Right, so that's the chiddush of the Beis Meir. The chiddush of the Beis Meir is that even though biyada doesn't mean owning it, biyada means in her possession. Possession.
Then it should say not biyada. It should say.
So the Gemara made a drasha. That was the first Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara started off in liel biyadoi kagei chatzei v'kafifa minayin. The Gemara makes a drasha from it. That was chatting the Gemara on the first Amud we learned. The Gemara had such a havamina. Okay, so let's try to understand everything over here. Okay, so according to the Beis Meir, it comes out of Chiddush Gadol and Lomdus that Gittin are not about owning the get. Gittin are about having to get under your control. The Ktzai seemingly disagrees. The Ktzai says a whole different shot in Rashi. The Ktzai says, you know why Rashi needed Tziburin? For a totally different reason, Dr. Ktzai. Says the Ktzai that v'im kein ki ilu havi makdel uduchta achvina v'aget ba'agav. Dr. Ktzai says, what would have happened if the husband said to her, here, be kind of the piece of property in New York, and the get is sitting in my office in L.A.? So yein echanami, that would work because of agav. She'd own the get, everything would be fine, Dr. Ktzai, but we have a different problem. What would the problem be? Kiven da'aget b'rushusoyu b'chatzei roi, im kein havi ogut gabe. And since the get's sitting in his possession, he's still connected to the get because it's in his possession. Says the Ktzai.
It's not his possession anymore.
His draw in L.A. is still his. He didn't sell her the draw in L.A. He sold her the property in New York and the get that's sitting in his draw in L.A. Right. The draw in L.A. is still his. That's his draw with her possession in it. Zok the Ktzai, that would be a chasarin of Agud Gabay. And listen to this one. He says, we need to have krisus veleka. It's not, it would be chasarin in krisus. And therefore, Zogdik Tzai, that's why he had to give her both property and the actual area. So two chidushim that come out from this ktsais.
Right, so if he would have said, though, agav, you have the whole property in L.A.
Correct.
And the get is sitting inside, then it'd be okay.
That's right. The problem over here is, according to the ktsais, is that since the get is sitting in property that's not hers, and it's the husband's, that would be a chesor in an agav gabe. Ah, oh, so the poshet and afkamina between the Beis Meir's pshat and the Ktsais's pshat would be, let's say he says to her, listen, be claiming the land in New York and be claiming the get that's sitting in my friend's house in LA. So according to the Beis Meir, no good. Because the Beis Meir holds she needs to own the get where the property is. According to the Ktsais, that's not Ogad Gabe. I have no rights to my friend's house. So then afkamina between the Ktsais and the Beis Meir would be in a case where the get would be situated in a third party's house. L'cha'er, what you see from the Ktsais is that he disagreed with the Beis Meir's premise. The Beis Meir had a chiddush over here that biyada doesn't mean ownership, biyada means in my possession. The ktsais seems to hold not like that. The ktsais holds there's no din you have to have the get in your possession. Biyada doesn't mean in your possession, biyada means you own it. So the ktsais says as long as she can own the get without the husband infringing, that's good enough. So when you talk about what biyada means in the Torah, it seems to be like it's Beis Meir and the ktsais. According to the Beis Meir, biyada, at least in Rashi, means owning it and having it in your possession, while according to the Ktsais, it's not about possession, it's about ownership. You don't have to have it in your possession. What's interesting about the Ktsais is the Ktsais seemingly makes a huge jump over here to the case of Ogud Gabe. What's the typical case of Ogud Gabe? Where the husband gives her a get with a string, and he's pulling the string. Is that the same case as over here? So, the Achrenim almost ask you for like a kasha. They say, what do you mean Ogud Gabe over here? Where's the connection? The husband has no rights to the get. It's his room. Yes, it's his room. Yes, it's his office. But to the actual chefza of the shtar, the husband has no connection. By the case of a string, the husband's pulling the string. That means the actual shtar, the husband's connected to, and he's pulling it. Yeah. Over here, the husband has no direct connection to the shtar.
She can't get to it unless he gives her permission.
He did.
Is that, would that be called... is that a chesaron in connection? That's a technical problem that she needs to have access to her get. When we talk about chesaron creases, that they have to be severed.
She needs to come back to him.
Is it him or the get that they can't be connected to?
She needs to come back to him to get that get.
That's true, but that's the debate. The machlokes over here could be: is what's the extent of connection husband and wife post the get? Is it that the husband's connected to the actual get? He's literally controlling the body of the get, or is he controlling outside factors that affect the get? So that might be a machlokes over here.
So according to Ktsais, you don't need the two things that we said because it's certainly missing the venos and biyado.
Well, that's the bigger kasha on Rashi, is that according to Rashi, well, we didn't deal with that yet. We were first dealing with the first kasha about Tziburim. We didn't even deal with how do you answer Vinasa
Biyada. According to Ktsais, in other words, you may have it in your possession, but it's still tefelt.
Yeah. That we didn't answer yet. Right? I was just dealing with the first kasha of how do you deal with why do you need Tziburim.
Well, do I need his rishus to go into his drawer to
could
get
he's giving
my
it.
Property that you gave?
Could be he's giving it to
or
me.
Or is it implied?
Yeah, no, could be he's even giving me the rishus. But the mere fact that my get is in his possession, the Ktsais felt that's too connected. To which many achrayim, the stipler and others say, what are you talking about? How's that connected? That's not considered connected. That's
yeah, at any time he could stop her access to it.
Why is it any less connected?
It's legal. Yeah, because he's not connected to the actual stuff.
It's legally instead of physically.
You know, I think the other achrayim say it a little differently. I think the stipler says maybe differently. He says because the only time there's a chesaron in krisus is that if you're being megareshes with a mice and a sina. All right, according to Rashi, there's no venasan, as we spoke about. So how's this get working? It gets working with the Maisa Kinyan. The only time there's a chesaron in an Ogud Gabe, that's when you're using Nesina as your mode of gerushin. If I'm being megarish you with an act of giving, then it has to be a severed giving. But over here, that's not the way we're being megarish. I'm not being megarish with a Maisa Nesina because there is no Nesina. How am I being megarish her? With a Kinyan. So when you talk about Kinyan, where's the Ogud Gabe? Well, we're connected to what? I own it. End of story. It's an interesting pshat. That the whole chesaron of Ogud Gabe is when you're focusing on the giving. That this wasn't a full giving because we're connected. But we're not looking at the giving. As the Rashba asked, there is no Vinasan over here. So how's this working? It's working with the actual Kinyan. Actual Kinyan that we don't care about Ogad Gabe. That's the way some Achrenim are Miyashe for Rashi.
We're saying it's just in this case where you have Shkivim around the whole set.
No. Agav would work all the time. All the time.
No, I know we have that Kisara. But in the case of Shkivim around, we can be more Mati.
No, we're Mati. No, not this. Other things the Gemara of this, Bishayim said, but not this Nekuda. Now, Reb Nochum, in Shurei Reb Nochum, in the beginning of Maseches Gittin, Reb Nochum has a Geshmak Pshat over here, where he quotes from Reb Baruch Ber. In Rashi Shita, when we talk about Rashi, the Rashi holds you can use Kinyan Agav. So what's the Kasha of the Rashi? Where's the Vinasan Biyoda? So what are you going to answer to Rashi? So Shtaka Kasha. So the way Reb Chaim said it, the way he says in Sefer, Reb Chaim said, because Rashi will tell you there's two ways to make Gevshin. There's Vinasan, and then there's Biyoda. Two separate dinim. Two separate modes of creating Chaloy's Gevshin. You can either do Vinasan, which is you give it, and make a mice and a sina, and there's another way. Or biyada. What does biyada mean? Not according to the Beis Meir, at least, but biyada means you make it in a way that she owns the get. two separate paths to choose to make chalos gerushin in Rashi Shita. Either you go the Venasan route or you go the other route. The way Reb Chaim speaks it out, Reb Chaim says that if you go that way, so if you're going to go the Venasan route, then it could be against her will. Because you're making an asina against her will, that's okay. If you're going to go the Kenyan route, you can't have her be kind of something against her will because you can't be kind of against her will. Reb Nochum quotes from Reb Baruch Ber a slightly different mahalach in Rashi. I think it's very important to our sugya. He quotes from Rashi that when Rashi says you can use Kenyan Agav, so Reb Chaim said, you see from Rashi, that the way it works is that there's two ways. You can either use Venasan or you can use Kenyan. Zogt Reb Nochum in the name of Reb Baruch Ber, that's not the way he understood it. He says the Gam the Rashi the Mahani Kinyan Agav beget ain't a kavono the Muvad din v'nasan biyodim etzino oifin noisav shagerushin ideas chias isha. Not the way everyone says in the name of Reb Chaim that there's two ways of doing it, either through v'nasan or through biyada. Zokti Baruch Ber, no elu kavono say the etzem hakno chashiva kinesina. The fact that I'm makti you my object, that I give you the right to own my object, that's called v'nasan. Not only does v'nasan mean a physical v'nasan, but sometimes Venasan can mean allowing you to have access to my get. That's also called I gave it to you.
Why doesn't
Tzli get that's what we have to talk about. So if that's true, if that's Pshat and Rashi, so then we have a big problem. If you're going to learn Rashi like Reb Baruch Ber, and Reb Shimon learned like this in Rashi also, that Rashi holds that when I allow you, or I cause you to own this thing, that's called I gave it to you. And the reason why Agav works is because I said you get the package, and that's why you own it. It's so because of me, that's called Venasan. So how is Tzli Gidech ever a problem? What's every Tligidech? I throw the get in the middle of the street and I say to her, I'm being machna you the get. And the only reason why the get is yours is because I'm machna to you. So ask Trip Shimon, so why is Tligidech ever a problem?
Somebody else can come in.
What do you mean?
Somebody
no, no, no.
Else can come in and
no, they can't. It's mine.
It's in Rosh Hashanah.
It's my object. What do you mean? It's my object. I own the get. And anyone else who walks by, the police stop them. When the lady comes back, I say, here, all yours. So according to Rashi, the way these are Achronim look Rashi, that Agav works because I'm giving you the right to own my thing. So that's the same thing by Tzli Gidech Magai B'Karka. So according to Rashi, why is Tzli Gidech ever a problem? This was the kasha of the Gedolei Achrayim. This is only shver if you learn Rashi this way. If you learn Rashi not the way we're saying it, then it's not a kasha. But the way he quotes from Baruch Ber, so how do you understand in Rashi, why is Tzli Gidech ever a problem? Why is it not a regular case? That since I'm allowing you to be kainit, that should be considered enough of a nasan. Okay, we'll have to talk about that the next time we learn Megiddin.